Let's take out our Bibles and let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll stand one more time. I want to jump into this tonight. It won't be long. I'm trying to think of how to even begin this. I'm so excited about tonight's message because it's something that God has really, really been teaching me over the last few weeks. And a few months back, I heard a message on our thinking. And it really got me to look into God's Word and see what God's Word says about thinking. And so tonight I want to jump into this, and I really believe it could be a help to you as it's been a help to me, because God's Word is powerful and there's some powerful truths here about our thinking that I think is really important for us to see. So go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. You guys awake? Okay. I know it felt like I ran in here last minute. I imagine some of you feel that way every Wednesday, just coming off of work and everything that's taken place and getting in here. And so I pray that this time will be efficient but helpful. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 and 2. We're going to look at these verses, and I'm going to share some thoughts here. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Would you read verse number 2 with me? We'll read the whole verse. Start in verse number 2. Ready? Begin. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's our word of prayer. Heavenly Father, one more time we want to come to you, and I pray that this time, Lord, we'll be able to focus our hearts and minds on your word. Help it to help us, and Lord, help us to see you in a better way tonight. And I ask these things in your name. Amen. You can be seated. How many of you are talkers? Like, you know your personality, you're a talker. You say 5 minutes, you talk for 15 more minutes. You say goodbye to someone 7 times on the way out, you know. You're just a talker. I saw one hand raised. Anyway, okay, so there's a few that admit it. I am a talker. And to be honest with you, I think both my wife and I are. Every time somebody comes over to our house, we say goodbye 8 times. You know, we say goodbye and we then decide to jump into a deep theological conversation, and you know, and then we say goodbye again and we have to go, or they have to go, and then we get into a discussion about parenting. And you know, none of these are quick conversations, and so it's always like a long time. So I'm just giving you a forewarning: if you come over, budget that in your time. How many of you talk to inanimate objects? You talk to your computer, the microwave, the couch. Okay. All right. How many of you talk to yourself? Anyone here talk to yourself? Okay. You guys are weird. No, I think we all talk to ourselves. We all can be guilty of talking to ourselves. I wrote down a list of funny things we tell ourselves, because we all tend to talk to ourselves. And even if it's not audibly out loud, we tell ourselves a lot of crazy things. I wrote down a few of them. I'll just try one. Another one, just one more episode. Anyone else guilty of that? And one season later, you go to bed? That won't take long to prepare. I'll get it done after one more episode. Eating out is expensive. I'm going back to packing my own lunch tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, I'm back in the gym. That check engine light will get checked tomorrow, I promise. Let's see. The diet starts tomorrow. I say that one every night. I'm getting to bed on time. No excuses. Anyone tell yourself that often? Just me. Cool. Okay. I am not stalking people on Instagram. I'm just looking, right? I'm not weird. We tell ourselves that. The fact that we have to tell ourselves that is concerning. I need to get to know my neighbors better. Maybe they're not that weird. I should call them and see how they're doing. Now, these are things I just wrote down, things that come to mind that I often tell myself that don't always come to fruition. Anyone know what I'm talking about? We tell ourselves things that aren't true. Sometimes it can be more severe than that. It's, you know, the label on the medication that says, don't operate heavy machinery, and we tell ourselves, I got it, right? We all tend to tell ourselves things. Here's my question tonight. When it comes to real life, you know, not the funny things, not the simple things, what are you telling yourself? What thoughts are you allowing to dwell in your mind. Recently, I was reading an article about our brains and just how phenomenally fast and incredibly capable our brains are. We have these supercomputers today that can do incredible things, but our brains are still really one of the most amazing computers out there. And some of the stats are kind of mind-blowing. I printed some of them out and realized I don't even know what they mean. But literally, there are billions of cells in our minds and synapses taking place, and thoughts in our brain can travel at almost 300 miles an hour, which when you think about how small you are compared to how fast something like that travels, they get through our body very quickly. The brain has the ability to reproduce cells. It never stops learning. And it functions at a high capacity generally all the time, even while we are sleeping. Some of us know that better than others. The mind is a computer that has incredible capabilities, but with that comes some serious implications. I read a couple different studies to make sure this statistic was true, and I could say most of the studies I found said that our brains have somewhere, or our minds have somewhere between 25,000 and 50,000 thoughts a day. 25,000 to 50,000 thoughts a day. I guess it depends on how much you think there, but that's a lot of thoughts. But here's what's interesting. Secular science, secular research, just the idea of the brain and our thinking has revealed that most people, about 70% of our thoughts are negative. About 70% of our thoughts are negative. And I thought, man, that's crazy. And then I started to think about that and thought, that actually might be true. I mean, are you like me? Do you spend a lot of your time wrestling your thoughts? No, that's not true. No, I can do it. No, that's not how. No, they didn't really mean that. Oh, no, I don't know if I can do this. I'm never going to get that. I can't figure this out. I wish I had more money. I mean, it could go on and on. But in our minds, according to science, about 70% of our thoughts lean towards the negative side of thinking, lead towards the negative side of direction. And so tonight, I want to give you a truth. I want us to see it in God's Word, and I want to try to, from God's Word, equip all of us with how do we change our thinking. Here's the thought I want you to see tonight, okay? If you could, write this down at the key truth. Dominant thoughts equal dominant direction. Dominant thoughts equal dominant direction. The things you think about most is going to direct the altitude, or maybe I should say the direction of your life. Dominant thoughts equal dominant direction. The things we think about dictate how we live. What we dwell on, what we consume in our mind, what we fantasize about, what we reason through, is generally the things that the most dominant thoughts in our mind are going to point towards the direction or the trajectory that our life is heading. I want you to stop and think about that for a second. Looking at the way you think, the dominant thoughts you have, look at your life. Is it pointed in the direction or the trajectory of those thoughts? And here's where I want to lay that out, is if most of our thinking, for most of us, is negative, and our lives are heading a direction, and our lives head the direction of our thinking, then how important is it that our thinking is healthy? How important is it that our thinking is right? Now, I want us to look at this verse again. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it begins to tell us how to do that. And it says in verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So we're not supposed to look, we're not supposed to be the shape of or appear like the world, meaning those that don't know Christ as Savior. But instead it says, be ye transformed. There is something that's supposed to be different about your life as a Christian. How? By the renewing of your mind. We change the way we think, we'll change the way we live. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you, if you would, turn a couple pages in your, well, it's in your notes or in your Bible, Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. Romans chapter 8. Paul talks a lot about thinking, and I think this is really important. Like I said, this has been a life-changing truth for me. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you have your hand out there, you'll see another verse right underneath that. Proverbs 23, verse 7 begins by saying, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We're going to look at a lot of verses tonight. In fact, if you have your notes, you're going to see in your notes, there's a lot of different verses that I tried to show you that this idea of our thinking changes the way we live. Our thinking directs the trajectory of our life. Our dominant thoughts equal our dominant direction. And so my question to you tonight is, what is programming your mind? What is the dominant thinking in your mind, and what is inputting that? And I want you to see from God's word tonight that there's some disciplines God gives us, there's some directions God gives us in his word that can help us think different. The title tonight comes from the ad campaign from Apple. It started in 1970-something, I believe, if I remember right. It was this idea of think different. You know, the truth is, God's word is the only thing that's going to be able to allow us to think different. And so as we jump into this, I want to pause for just a second and say one thing. Tonight, I'm not talking about self-help, okay? You're going to see from Scripture tonight that God is the one who can change our thinking, that God is the one who can change the direction of our life. But God is going to do that through the renewing of our mind. And so if you're sitting here tonight, I don't want you to think like this is the same thing you're going to read in a self-help book at the bookstore. And by the way, you go to a bookstore and you can find tons of books on self-help. And to be honest with you, the message or the intent of those books is the same end goal in that they want people to understand how important it is to think right, but they try to do it outside of God. Okay, the only solution to thinking different, to thinking right, to changing the trajectory of your life is knowing God's word and allowing it to saturate your mind so that you think different. And so I want you to see three disciplines God gives us in his word that can help us think different, okay? So the first one I want you to see is the idea of refusal. You could write down the word refusal. Romans 12:2, the end of that verse says, ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word prove there indicates that we have to have in our mind some kind of filter to understand what is good as opposed to what is not good. That you may prove what is that good and perfect acceptable will of God, okay? So this idea of refusal is that we have to not believe the lies. I'm going to get to that in just a second. I want you to see a couple other verses there. Philippians 4:8 says it another way. Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now stop and look at that verse as a filter with your thoughts today. Stop and look at that verse as a filter of your thoughts the last 45 minutes. The moment you got out of your car, the moment you left work, to the moment you got here, what was your mind thinking about? Was it things that were pure and just and lovely and good report, virtuous? Or were they, I hate my job, I don't want to go home to the mess, kids didn't get to eat. You see what I'm saying? You need a filter for this, and it starts with understanding this principle of refusing to believe the lie. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says it this way, casting down imaginations. That's the fantasies we have in our mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So anything in our lives that changes who God is, And many of us have these thoughts that, you know, this is the time God isn't going to come through. This is the time I don't see how God's going to answer that prayer. God is good to everyone else, but he's not to me. And if you sat in a message where a pastor preached about God being good or God being faithful, you would say, I agree. You would say, amen. You would at least acknowledge that to be true. But oftentimes in our lives, our thinking doesn't look as Christ-like as what we appear. And in our thinking, sometimes we can get stuck believing a lie about God, believing something that's not true, letting imaginations and fantasies and things that are not real dwell our minds. And so this verse in 2 Corinthians here says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so here's a couple things I want to give you under this idea of refusal. Number one, identify your negative thoughts. Identify your negative thoughts. There's not necessarily a blank there. It's just some truths I want to try to help that have been a help to me. Figure out what are your dominant negative thoughts. At the end of tonight's message, I'm going to share what mine are, and I'm going to share how I have recrafted my time with the Lord to help me have a renewed mind in these areas. But what are your negative thoughts? What are the strongest negative thoughts that you wrestle with on a day-to-day basis? Maybe it's the thought that you're not good enough. Maybe it's the thought that you don't have enough. Maybe it's the thought that someone else has things easier. Maybe it's the thought that you can't do it or you can't be as good as someone else. Maybe it's the thought that you're not as spiritual. What are those negative thoughts that you struggle with? I'm always stressed. I'm always busy. I never have enough time. I never have enough money. What are the negative thoughts that dwell in your mind? If I was with someone else, I'd be happier. If I had a different job, it would be better. What negative thoughts dwell in your mind? And then secondly, what we see from these verses, because Romans 12:2 says, prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We're going to talk about this in a second, but if you don't know what's good and perfect and acceptable or the will of God, it's really hard to prove that. And so we're going to talk about that in just a second, but here's what I do see. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, that other verse we looked at, it tells us to cast down imaginations. It tells us to pull down every high thing that exalteth itself against God and to bring into captivity, to control, to tear it down, any thought to the obedience that is against the obedience of Christ. So here's what I can see from that verse on our thinking that can help us with this idea of refusing to believe the lie is know and obey what God has already told you. Know and obey what God has already told you. Why do I say that? Because in our lives, oftentimes, we let our minds carry thoughts that aren't true because we don't know God's word. We don't know God's characteristics. But many times in our lives, knowing more information isn't as important as doing what we already know God wants us to do. Now, oftentimes, we'll sit in a message, we'll sit in a service, we'll have a conversation with another Christian, and we'll be challenged in our hearts by the Lord to take a step of faith or to change something in our lives or to adjust something that's not right or balanced in our lives. Are we obeying those things? Do we know God's will for our lives and the things he's already showed us? Oftentimes, I shouldn't say oftentimes, occasionally somebody will come in and they want counseling and how do I fix this thing? Like, give me the secret recipe to fix this problem in my life. And oftentimes the conversation is they have this problem that's developed, but they have avoided things they already know to be true. And so often the conversation goes in those situations. Well, I know I'm supposed to be in church, and I know I'm supposed to be home more, and I know I'm not supposed to stay at work all night, and I know I'm not supposed to do this, and I know I'm not supposed to do this, but how do I fix it? The truth is, the best way to change, to refuse the lie, is to do and know God already. To do the things that God has already showed us. To understand the things that God has already revealed to us. And so, identify your negative thoughts. Know and obey what God has already showed you. And then thirdly, reject the lies. Don't believe the lies. Satan works through deceit. Satan works through temptation of believing. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I had the opportunity to preach. The idea that all of our temptation stems from the idea that God is not good. Satan tries to tempt us with the idea that God is holding out on us. And for us to know God helps us to have a filter in our thinking to know what is true and what is a lie. And it's so important in our lives that we do that. But you have to know what God's principles are and who God is to be able to reject them. So that brings me to our second point tonight, reprogramming. So first, refusal. Don't believe the lies. Refuse to accept negative thoughts in your mind. Secondly, reprogram. Reprogram. Where do I see that? Look at Romans 12:2. Right in the middle there, it gives the command, be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Why is that verse? Why do I have that verse there? Because Romans 12:2 tells us the way we transform on this earth in our thinking or in our living to be Christ-like is the renewing of our mind. And Paul points out that a conversation he had with God was, God, remove this thing from me, remove this thing from me. I don't want it. And God says, no, actually, my strength is shown through your weakness. Why do I point that verse out? Because we have to change the way we think. And the way that God tells us to think is very, very different than how we think. It goes against our nature, if you will, to think the right way. And so we have to reprogram our minds by God's truths. By God's truths. And so there's a couple things I want you to see here. Ephesians 4:22 and 23. Is everyone still with me? Okay, I know it's a lot here. We're gonna tie this all together. Ephesians 4:22 and 23. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. So there's a principle in God's word, put off, put on. You're gonna see that a lot. Put off, put on. You put something off, you put something new on in Christ. So you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Can I tell you that the moment those of you who received Christ as Savior, for those of you who understand the gospel and what Jesus did, when we became a Christian, he gave us new life. He renewed us. But our thinking oftentimes is stuck in old habits. And so it's important for us to do what God's word says in renewing our mind. And to renew our mind, we have to take off and put on. Take off and put on. We got to identify those negative thoughts. We got to identify those things that are not biblical, that are not true, that are not how God is. We have to take those away and we have to start plugging in what is true. I'm looking around and I see a couple of people I know who work in some kind of computer technology or that kind of industry. And I understand there's a acronym that's used sometimes. I don't even know how you say it, but it's D-I-D-O. I don't know if it's Dido or Ditto, but it's the idea, data in, data out. Computers don't mess up. What usually is the problem is what we do to our computers, right? So data in, data out is this. What you put in is what's going to come out. And what God tells us in his word is to renew our mind because we have to have the right data coming in so that what flows out of our lives is right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we have to reprogram. What truths does God give me to help me find victory in my life? That's what you have to identify. Okay, so here's the negative thoughts that I struggle with in my life. Insecurity, or inferiority, or guilt, or whatever those negative thoughts that you wrestle with on a day-to-day basis. Comparison. Taking those, identifying them, and then getting into God's word and going, God, what are your truths? What are your promises? What do you say in your word that can tear down this imagination, can tear down this thought into the obedience of Christ? And so it's this idea of reprogramming our minds. We have to get into God's word. In fact, Joshua 1:8, we've mentioned this verse before. It's the only verse in God's word that uses the word success and is tied to knowing God's word. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So how do we reprogram our mind? We have to get into God's word. We have to start claiming God's promises. We have to start claiming God's promises. You have to actually believe that God can do what he says he can do. And so often in our lives, we struggle with doubt. That's one of the negative thoughts that all of us dwell on too much when it comes to Christ. Pastor Stephen Montepecchi and I were talking today about how frustrating it is that we doubt God. You know, we were talking and I was saying, it's frustrating to me, it's aggravating to me that God has given me no reason to believe that he is not faithful. God has given me no reason to doubt that he is capable of doing what he says. And yet every time I come to a trial, every time I face a temptation, every time I have a discouragement, I wonder if God is going to come through. You know what's fascinating about that is we have relationships in our lives. As Stephen and I were talking, I was mentioning, I don't doubt my wife's love for me. I don't doubt her faithfulness to me. And if something came up, something in our marriage or something was uncertain, my first thought would not be that my wife doesn't love me or my wife is unfaithful to me. I would give her the benefit of the doubt. Why? Because she's given me no reason to doubt her love. She's given me no reason to doubt her faithfulness. And so anything that seemed a little off or a little confusing, it wouldn't even cross my mind that there was something wrong. I would assume there was missing information. And yet when it comes to God, God is infinitely more faithful and more loving than any of us can be in our earthly relationships. And yet every trial, every temptation, every difficulty I wrestle with, and I imagine you wrestle with, is God good? If God is good, how come he's allowing this to happen? Why don't we give God, who's all-knowing and all-good, that same benefit of the doubt? Maybe we don't have all the information. And so this idea of reprogramming, first of all, we have to refuse the lies, but then we have to take off those lies and start filling our minds with God's word and his promises. You know, the only way you're going to have a filter to know what's right in this world, the only way you're going to have a biblical worldview is to know the Bible. The only way you're going to have victory over your negative thoughts is to know the good promises God gives. And so it's this idea of reprogramming. You have to get in God's word. We have to claim God's promises. We also have to rest in the gospel. And here's what I mean by that. We don't do the reprogramming. We discipline ourselves to let God work in our lives. The hard part for us is surrendering. The hard part for us is saying, God, I need you to help me with this. God, I need you to change my thinking in this. God, you promised this, and I don't know how that's going to happen in my life, but I'm going to trust you. Now, that's our part, if you will. Because the gospel, the story, the thread through the entire word of God is that we are broken and need him to save us, right? Okay, so in our thinking, it's not, I'm going to try harder to be more positive tomorrow. I'm going to say more kind things. I'm going to refuse to accept any negative thoughts in my life, okay? Well, there's some discipline in our minds that we need to have to be disciplined, but the discipline should be, God, work in my heart. God, work in my mind. When that negative thought comes up, God, that's not true because your word says, God, that's not true because I know you to be faithful. And so we have to refuse, we have to reprogram, but then thirdly, we renew. We renew, okay? So refusal, reprogramming, renew. Now look at chapter 12, verse 2 again, okay? Now I kind of broke this verse into sections and we moved them around a little bit, but I think you'll understand why as you see this. Be not conformed to this world. That's the caution from God. Don't conform yourself to the world. We are creatures, new creatures in Christ. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tells us we should present ourselves holy and pure, acceptable. It's just our reasonable service. For all that God has done, it's the reasonable thing for us to live a devoted life as we've been talking about this year. So in verse number 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world. That's the caution. Be ye transformed. That's the commandment. How do we transform? The renewing of your mind and proving what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So I kind of worked backwards here to see. First of all, we have to understand what we have to know is good and bad, right? We can't prove what's good if we don't understand right and wrong. And we only know the healthy biblical view of what's right and wrong when we get in God's word. And so we reprogram. Renewing our mind is a process that is continuing. It goes over and over and over until we get in new habits. And this is what I want you to see. 2 Timothy 1:7. Okay? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is a promise from God. Maybe you struggle with feeling like you can't share the gospel with that coworker, or you won't know what to say in that situation, or maybe you struggle with the idea that you're just fearful. You've got not phobia so much, but you're always worried about, oh no, what if that doesn't go through? I'm probably going to get in a car accident today, or because that happened, this is going to happen. You know, you struggle with these fears, these doubts, always negative. Okay, this verse is a promise from God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why do I point to that verse? Because in renewing our mind, we have to take these principles and we have to dwell on them and we have to memorize them and we have to meditate in them, as Joshua 1:8 says. Because renewing is a process that has to be done over and over and over again. Ephesians 3:20, this is a promise. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Why do I say that's a promise? Because what I see there is that God is abundantly capable of going beyond what we think or ask. And so in our lives, we have a part of us that needs to identify, what are the unbiblical, the negative thoughts that I have that are dictating my life in unbiblical ways? God, what does your word say? And God, what do I know of you? And God, teach me, let me know your word, let me see your promises so that I can put off, put on, take away these negative things that are dictating my life in a direction that's not good. And let me know your promises, teach me your promises, let me get in your word so that I know the truth, so that I can prove what's good and acceptable, so I can think on things that are pure and lovely and right. And not let my mind be dominated by, as 1 Corinthians says, fantasies and every high thing that exalteth itself above God. What's renewal? Renewal is this idea that now that I know God's promises and I know that there's these things that I wrestle, God, every day, every time, I have to come back to you and change that way that I think. And here's what God says. I'm able to do abundantly above all that you can ask or think. You know what that does? That realigns our thinking. It's kind of like the verse, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we understand how big God is, how strong God is, it may seem impossible to overcome these thoughts. It may seem like you just don't know enough of God's word. And by the way, if you know what your negative thoughts are and you don't know the promises from God's word that can help you, talk to a Christian here that's been a Christian for a while. Come talk to me. We'd love to give you verses that can help you in that. Part of discipleship. Why do we encourage everyone to go through discipleship? Because that's an opportunity to know God's word. And so understanding those things allows us to understand that God can think bigger than we can. He can do more than we can imagine. He can be strong in our weaknesses. And with that understanding, we can renew our minds day by day by day. So here's how I believe God's word can help you in this. You need to know that he's good. You need to know that he's good. You need to know it leads to a right direction. You need to know that it's the way to God's will. How do we know that? Because we see this here in this passage, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I mentioned, just a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to preach, and we talked about the idea of knowing God is good. That is the greatest, most important thought we could have. That is the one question all of us have to answer, because every time we fail, it's because we don't believe God is good. We also need to understand that when we renew our mind, we not only see that he's good, but it leads to a right direction. And it leads to God's will, his perfect plan for our lives. And so tonight, I want you to see this. I want you to see that our thinking is powerful. Our thinking is powerful. Our thinking can literally change our lives. Now, I told you at the end, I wanted to share, and here's what I have started to do. I have started to have a daily time of prayer, the beginning of the day, where I have started the day by saying, God, here's my negative thoughts that I wrestle with. This is what I'm claiming from your word, and I do that every day, every day, every day. And I can tell you, over the last just 2-3 weeks that I have been letting God work in my life this way, it has been amazing the way I see what's taking place. My life isn't getting any less busy. My problems aren't getting any smaller per se. My difficulties or balances or any of those things aren't changing. But when I change the way I think, I can see all those things differently. Here's what I wrote down, and I'm going to share this with you. So here's my big struggles as far as promises, my negative thoughts. I wrote down insecure inabilities. I'm always doubting, I'm not as good as someone else. I can't do it as well as someone else. I don't know if I have the capability to do this. So insecure inabilities. Secondly, performance-based living. I oftentimes wrestle with, I am defined by what I do. If I do a good job, people will like me. And if I do a bad job, people won't like me. And so this performance-based living, that's something I wrestle with. Another one I wrote down is out-of-balance priorities. I struggle to keep my balances prioritized. I think this is really important, and then I give too much time to that, and then I look back and I neglected this, and you guys understand that dilemma, I'm sure. Okay, so these are three areas that in my life, I know those dominate my thoughts. Oftentimes, I am wrestling with, so-and-so could do it better. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know. I don't know if I did enough. Do they like me? Do I need to do more for them to like me? Do I need to be whatever? And then the balance of priorities. Man, I think this is the most important thing for me to do right now. And meanwhile, my kids are at home waiting for me. Or I spend too much time watching an episode on Netflix, you know, the one more, and I miss valuable time with my spouse. And so the balance of priorities, these are things I struggle with. And so I a few weeks ago, I sat down and I wrote out a prayer that really almost word for word, it's not something that I'm not thinking about, but I had to write it out so that I was communicating to God what I see. And this has been my prayer. Lord, today I can be confident to know how to do what needs to be done, not because of my abilities or strength, but yours. You promise to be strong in my weakness. So I confess my weakness and insecurity and choose to trust that you will work in and through me. See, if I'm struggling with insecurity, God's word says, I will show my strength through weakness. And so I can take my negative thoughts and go, wait a minute, God, that's actually a good thing. You say you work through weakness. And so God, I'm giving you this insecurity. I'm giving you this weakness to know I never feel good enough, but that's a promise because you promised to work through that. I wrote down, secondly, my identity is not tied to my actions, but who I am in you. I will trust in you to clarify and specify my priorities, so I can be intentional in my activities and decisions. God, through you, I will love my life, my wife loyally, selflessly, and purely. I'll prepare and equip my kids to use their life, gifts, and opportunities to serve you in a greater way than they can imagine. I will set the right example for my family. With your help, I will live today generous, authentic, and teachable. Now, that's become my prayer. That's become me taking God's word and his promises and saying, God, if you promise to meet us in those weaknesses, God, if you promise that we are not defined by what we do, but who we are in you, and God, if you show us from your word that my family and the opportunity that I have to serve here are the most important priorities, then God, help me to filter everything I do today in a positive view of how you see it, and let me live my life that way. So this is my challenge to you tonight, 8:03. Take some time tonight. Take some time tomorrow in your devotions. Maybe you've already thought of something, but take some time to write down what are the negative thoughts? What are the things in my life that I am constantly battling in my mind? And then getting in God's word and going, God, what are the promises from your word that help me overcome this? See what truth is and what the lies are. And begin a daily practice of confessing that or bringing that before God and renewing your mind. You know, when I pray that prayer every morning and I'm praying it out loud, I'm telling myself that, I'm asking God to change the way I think so that the direction of my life is biblical. And so tonight, I hope something from God's word can be a help to you tonight. What thinking needs to change, what promises need to be discovered and claimed, and what conversation with God needs to happen. I hope that would be a help to you tonight. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be done. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, you have blessed us with an incredible mind. And Lord, if we're not careful, we'll be lazy with our mind. We'll let negative thoughts and we'll let worldly patterns and philosophies and worldviews saturate our mind. We'll let our entertainment dictate how life should look and our music to be the soundtrack of our lives. And Lord, we don't filter things through our mind and understand sometimes that our dominant thoughts lead to our dominant direction. God, in Romans chapter 12 and in Romans chapter 8, you talk about renewing our minds. You talk about the need for us to understand the importance of knowing what is pure and knowing what is right. God, may we take this simple truth from your word, but may we apply it to our lives in a practical way. God, I know in my own life there's so many areas I struggle with that I have to constantly give back to you in my mind. And God, I pray for every mom here who feels that they don't measure up to someone else. Or God, every dad here who is out of balance with priorities or doesn't think that they're the right kind of husband, or every man or woman here who wonders maybe if they're ever going to get married or if they're in the right career, can they enjoy life? God, I pray that we would remove all of that and know you and know your word and let it saturate our lives so that what we dwell on is your promises and your presence and your power in our lives, so that, Lord, we go about our lives knowing the right things to do and say and be a part of. God, I pray that even in the middle of this week, this could be a reset for someone who's discouraged at work or discouraged in their relationships or frustrated with even their walk with you, that this would be a renewed way, Lord, for us to see from your word how good you are and just discover promises. And God, may it change the way we think so it changes the way we live. That, Lord, it would never be said of us that we're Christians that look just like the world, as your word puts it. And God, I pray and ask that you help all of us in these areas. In your name, amen.